Welcome, everybody, Erev Tov, to our weekly Parsha Shir. So I really want to thank Rabbi Shulman, who needs no introduction. He's pinch hitting, really, on less than 24 hours notice. The person who was supposed to give a shir for a good reason couldn't, will come back and give a shir another time. So I want to ask, I thank Rabbi Shulman for agreeing to pinch hit at the last minute. Of course, he's giving right now. If you haven't come, still come. There are, I guess, 3 weeks left in the series on Megillat Rut. So that's on Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. in St. Louis, where Rabbi Shulman's been the rabbi the last 17 years, 18 years, 17, whatever. 17. Yeah, 17 years in the Young Israel of St. Louis. Before that, of course, I know him. We met, of course, when he was rabbi here in Toronto. And, since we're talking on technology, I don't think I mentioned it, or I don't normally introduce you like this, but, Rabbi Shulman is a graduate of Machon Lev in Yerushalayim, and he got his smicha, I believe, from the chief rabbinate of Yerushalayim, of Israel. So it's a pleasure. Enough of me talking. Parshat Shemitah, Ma Inyan Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai. Bevakasha.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rabbi Kelman. Can everybody hear and see me? Okay. I'm going to momentarily share my screen, and when I do, all of your video boxes shift to my second screen, so I get to continue to see you all while I am teaching. I therefore ask one little special request, and that is, if you can, to please leave your videos on. If you are uncomfortable or if you can't for any reason, that's okay. But if you can, it helps me because then I get to see who I am talking to. I'm also going to do a quick mute of all the background noise. Feel free to unmute if you have questions to engage in the conversation. And by way of introduction, I just want to pick up on what Rabbi Kelman said. I sort of stepped into this last minute, but I had enough time to take a quick look at what I had done in the past for Torah in Motion. And as it turns out, the shiur that I had planned to pinch hit with was, in fact, the shiur that I gave last year. So we're going to do part two. Now, that means that if anybody who wasn't at part one, I will make a unsolicited and unpaid commercial announcement for Torah in Motion. It's on the Torah in Motion website. It's on the YouTube channel. You're welcome to go to it. And I will do a quick summary of the basic point and the punchline, because we're going to pick up where we left off and continue into part two of that discussion. If you were here with us last year for Parshat Bahar B'chukotai, great. If you remember what we talked about, even better. If you were not here or you don't remember what we talked about, because I didn't remember what we talked about, that's okay too, because we're going to start from scratch. I just put that out there so I can make an unpaid commercial solicitation for Torah in Motion and for the wonderful work that they do. Okay, so having said that, I'm going to share my screen. And in the chat, you should find a source page, which we will get to. Rabbi Kelman, if I could trouble you to just post that there. And I'm going to jump into a share screen. Okay. All right. Does everybody see a source page on the screen? Thumbs up if you can see my screen. Excellent. Okay. Parshat Bahar. Now, Parshat Bahar, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, Vimarta Lem, Ki Tavor Haaretz, Asher Ani Noten Lechem, V'Shavta Haaretz, Shabbat LaHashem. God said to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, and then the continuation of the Parsha, which discusses the mitzvot of Shemitah, Yovel, which we'll talk about, and various other laws that are subsets or connected to the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Primarily, chapter 25 deals with the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel and its various sub-paragraphs. And of course, the most famous question on this discussion, on this parsha, is the question posed by Rashi, which led to the development of a very famous idiomatic expression, where the Torah says, "Ma inyan v'yedaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemor." What is the significance of adding that this was said b'har Sinai? Famously, Rashi comments, "Ma inyan shmita the Inyan Har Sinai. What is the relevance of Shemitah to Har Sinai that we need to tell you that this mitzvah was given at Har Sinai? Then Rashi creates a clarification of the question, which is that all the mitzvot were given at Sinai. So if all the mitzvot were given at Sinai, why do I specifically have to reference that in the context of Shemitah and Yovel? The truth is that, to go back to the text for a moment, Rashi's question is correct. I'm just not sure that we need to worry about the clarification, meaning the question of why this Parsha begins with a reference to Har Sinai is not necessarily because every mitzvah was given at Sinai. What's more directly relevant is the fact that the Torah essentially goes through, chronologically, three stages of history. Meaning, when we encamped around Har Sinai, we were there for a year or so, and during that time, we had the revelation at Sinai, we had the giving of the Torah at Sinai, we had the story of the golden calf, and then its aftermath, and by the time Yom Kippur rolled around, we were building a Mishkan. So if you look at the way the Torah sequences, I'm going to just jump for 1 second to here. At the end of Sefer Shemot, the very end of Sefer Shemot, we find the establishment of the Mishkan, or the building of the tabernacle. And at the very end, after it's all built and all done, we find the verses that describe that the cloud of God's glory, and the Nea Kavod that covered the mountain of Har Sinai, had now moved into the Mishkan, Chvod Hashem Maleh Mishkan. And therefore, all conversation between God and Moshe from that point forward is described as having taken place at the Ohel Moed. The reason it's called an Ohel Moed, a tent of meeting, is because it was a meeting place between God and Moshe. And that's also a verse in the Torah. V'na'adati l'chasham, I will meet you there from between the two kruvim that sat upon the ark. And so when we go to the beginning of the book of Vayikra, the opening verses of the book of Vayikra, literally, Vayikra Perek Aleph, Vayikra El Moshe, God called to Moshe, but now for the first time, He called to Moshe, Me Ohel Moed Lemor, from the tent of meeting. So at that point, we are now directly in all conversation between God and Israel and Moshe is happening in the tent of meeting. The Ramban goes at length to describe the fact that Har Sinai itself no longer has any sanctity. The Shekhinah was only there temporarily. It's moved on into the tent of meeting, and Har Sinai now becomes a mountain like any other. And therefore, there is no significance to Har Sinai anymore. And the rest of Sefer Vayikra is given Me'oha Moed. In that year, we encamped around the mountain, and all conversation between God and Moshe is in the Ohel Moed. If I jump to the beginning of Bamidbar already, or let's say Devarim, that'll be an easier one, 40 years later, Ela Dvarim Asher Dibur Moshe Yisrael Be'eva HaYarden Bamidbar. They're now in Arvot Mo'av 40 years later, and so there is a ongoing conversation now in Arvot Mo'av between God and Moshe. In other words, and this is based on an Ibn Ezra in the Sefer Shemot, the Ibn Ezra says essentially there are three places where the Torah was given, where there was conversation between God and Moshe over the nature of the mitzvot of the Torah. Har Sinai, up until the building of the Mishkan. Right, that's stage one. Stage two is Vayikra Ohel Moed. And then stage three is Bamidbar, the end of Bamidbar, and Devarim when they're in Arvot Moav. And so the real question that's at the core of Rashi's observation is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. This parsha is, in fact, out of place. It's not just that, all the mitzvot were given at Sinai. No. The revelation was at Sinai. The mitzvot were given over the course of 40 years at various places. To put us back at Har Sinai is chronologically to take us out of this moment in Sefer Vayikra and to take us back into the middle of Sefer Shmot. And that's really the question. Why is this entire section of Parshat Behar with the mitzvah Shemitah and Yovel, the Har Sinai means that it was given at Har Sinai prior to the rest of the book of Vayikra. So it's completely out of order. And therefore the question, Ma'inyan Shemitah, it's Har Sinai, what is the significance of the fact that the Torah, not that the Parsha was given at Har Sinai, it happened to have been that this Parsha is Behar Sinai, but it's out of sequence, because that means it was chronologically then, in the middle of Sefer Shmot, and not here. And this is reflected in the Rishonim. You can see it in the Ibn Ezra, in the Ramban, who says that Ne'emar kol ha-parsha zot, this entire portion of Parshat of Behar, was given to them, was told to them, was expressed to them at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Why? We'll see in a moment why that is true, the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Similarly, Ibn Ezra says that when God made the brit with them that's in Parshat Mishpatim, that's where he spoke about the connection to the land of Israel and gave them the mitzvah Shemitah and Yovel. In other words, that's clearly the reference. Now, it goes beyond just Parshat Behar. This is all, again, part of the quick review. It goes a little bit beyond Parshat Behar, because even though Behar starts, the God spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor, and therefore the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel are all part of this section. If you continue down, we go to the end of the chapter, and then move to the next chapter, which is Bechukotai. And Bechukotai, as you know, is the blessing and curses, the brit, the covenant over the blessing and curses. And you go to all the way to the end of the description of the covenant of blessings and curses, the brit, over the admonitions. The phrase ends, Eila chukim ha-mishpatim v'atarot, asher natan Hashem beino ben bnei Yisrael, Behar Sinai biyad Moshe. In other words, what's Behar Sinai isn't just the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel. It's a unit that starts with the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel and continues through the mitzvot of Bechukotai, or the tochacha of Bechukotai. All of that is Behar Sinai, and therefore all of that is out of place, because really this whole two or three chapters, says the Ramban, says the Ibn Ezra, was given to Bnei Yisrael at the end of Parshat Mishpatim as part of Matan Torah at Har Sinai. And so the question that I want to address is twofold. Number one, what is the reason for the connection specifically to Shemitah and Yovel? But not only is Shemitah and Yovel specifically the question, because it's this week's parasha, is Parsha Behar, but also, why is it at the end of Vayikra? So if it's out of place, so why is it out of place? That needs an explanation. So two things that I want to point out, and then we'll kind of move forward with this. The first is that, and this is based on a major machloket in the Rishonim, a mechilta I shared with you last year. The notion of this brit, or this parsha being at Har Sinai, is actually connected specifically to a notion of what we would call the brit, the covenant, or more importantly for our purposes, the book of the covenant, the Sefer HaBrit. What do I mean by that? You go to Shmot Chaf Perek of Dalid, which is the end of Parshat Mishpatim. That's what the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra were referring to. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim, we have a very interesting dialogue. We have Moshe comes to the people, and Moshe writes these words down. This is after Parshat Yitro, so it's after, ostensibly after the story of Matan Torah. Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Vayikra bozne'am. Moshe took the book of the covenant and he read it to the people. Vayamru kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'nishma. And that's where the people made the famous comment, the famous declaration, we will do, we will observe, we will listen, naseh v'nishma. So this naseh v'nishma was said in Parshat Mishpatim specifically over the reading of the Sefer HaBrit. Now, there's a huge discussion, which, again, if you want to go into the details of it, we can pull up last year's shiur because we went into it in more detail. But there's a huge discussion over what is the Sefer HaBrit? What did Moshe read to the people before the people accepted the Torah? Almost everybody agrees that this parsha, this whole brit that is described here, Moshe takes the blood and of the korban and he sprinkles it upon the people, and there's dam brit. And then he takes this dam by Zwakala'am and he sprinkles the blood on the people and he says, this is the dam habrit, the blood of the covenant which God has made with you. What is this covenant? So almost everybody agrees that this is a review of what happened at Mount Sinai, what happened back and before the Torah was given. We had this brit and Moshe came and he read to them Sefer HaBrit. So whether it's before Matan Torah or right after Matan Torah, everybody agrees that this Sefer HaBrit was read, and then the people said, Naaseh v'nishma. What is the Sefer HaBrit? So that's a three-way machloket Tanoim and machloket in the Rishonim. Rashi says it's Sefer Breshit and all the stories of Matan Torah, of the beginning of Shemot. Ramban says it's the mitzvot of the Aseret HaDibrot and Mishpatim and mitzvot Bnei Noach. But there's a third opinion of that that appears in the Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that the Sefer HaBrit that Moshe read to the people, Veikach Sefer HaBrit, Veikra Bozneh Hashem, Bozneh Ha'am, Veichan Kara, what did he read? Says Rabbi Yishmael, he read, Shavta Aret Shabbat Lashem, Sheishanim Tizasadecha, Shmitot, V'yavlot, Rechot U'Klalot. He read them, Parashiyot, Bahar B'chukotai, and the mitzvot of Shemitah, Yovel, and the blessing and curses. That is the book of the covenant that the people heard, said Naaseh v'nishma over, and essentially exacted, signed the covenant with God over these parshiot, which would explain why they are Baha'i Sinai, which explain why they are listed as having taken place at Har Sinai, because, says the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, it's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the parsha of Shemitah, Yovel, and the blessings and curses, these two chapters bracketed by the phrase Bahar Sinai, they are precisely the book of the covenant Moshe read to the people and then list and then let them accept the words of the Torah. That's the position of Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the position of many of the Rishonim. There is a compelling argument to that in the text of the Parsha. There's a hint to it in the parasha itself, which I will get to in a moment. But you can see that the Tochacha, and I just pulled some examples of it, you can see the Tochacha, Vayikra, Chafav, you can see that it's constantly referencing the fact that this blessing and curses, this contrast, which is next week's parasha, but Har B'chukotai is so interconnected, it's hard to separate one without the other. B'chukotai, it talks about Vakimoti Briti Itchem, I will establish my covenant with you, and if you abandon the mitzvot Laferet Briti, to abandon my covenant, I will bring you a sword in lieu of the covenant. V'zacharti et Briti Yaakov, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, my covenant with Yitzchak, my covenant with Abraham, I will remember the land, I will remember Brit Rishonim, the covenant with the early generations. If you are in exile, I will not reject you, I will remember my covenant with you, lefer briti itam, zachati lem brit rishonim. So the notion, this whole experience the har, b'chukotai, shmita, yovel, and the brit, the covenant over the land of Israel, is essentially one brit that is written as the sefer habrit, the book of the covenant that Moshe reads the people and they accept the mitzvot. So from that's sort of a review of where the basic concept of Sefer HaBrit comes from and essentially establishes the idea that the question isn't all the mitzvot are given at Sinai. Why is Shemitah and Yovel any different? No, the question is, on the contrary, only Mamon HaSinai took place at Sinai. The revelation, the Ten Commandments, maybe Parshat Mishpatim, maybe the giving of the Mishkan, but after the Mishkan was created, we're now into Ohel Moed, we're now in the Tent of Meeting, then we're into Avot Moav, we're no longer at HaSinai. This HaSinai references to a covenant that was articulated at HaSinai, but it's chronologically out of order. And so my question is twofold. Why Shemitah and Yovel? Why is this covenant, why is the Sefer HaBrit over the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel? And why is it listed here at the end of Vayikra and not where it seems to belong, which is back in Shemot? That is a sort of a background to the question. I'm going to stop for a moment and ask, are there any questions on just this? I did this very quickly, but this is sort of a third of the shiur, but I wanted to do it as a review of where we were at. So any questions specifically to the idea that this Bahar Sinai is a bracketed unit of the beginning of the mitzvah Shemitah and Yovel and the blessings and curses of the Tochacha, and that that was in fact the Book of the Covenant that Moshe read to the people, and they had to accept the Torah on that basis, which was essentially a contract that says there's a contract of accountability. If you keep the mitzvot, great, and if you don't, you'll be punished. The land of Israel is the price of that covenant, and that's what they accepted when they said, we naseh v'nishma.
Does the word inyan perhaps have a different meaning to the one that we always give to it?
Sorry, say that again? Does which word?
The word inyan.
Inyan?
Inyan.
Oh, you mean Barashi? Ma inyan Shemitah at Salasina?
Ma inyan. What does inyan really mean?
Yeah, that's a... Unless that sort of gets into the rabbinic language of the Medrash. It's not so much the Torah language. So I'm not... I mean, Rashi's question was based on a different understanding of this of Sefer HaBrit, and we're operating on the opinion based on the opinions of the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. I'm less bothered by the language of Rashi. Okay, so where I leave off here is essentially two questions. Why is the Shemitah Yovel concept connected to the Sefer HaBrit, to the Book of the Covenant? And why is it at the end of Vayikra if it in fact belongs in the context of Shemot? What I want to, before I move into that second question, which is really the core of the shiur today, I want to make one more observation about this. We didn't discuss this last year, so this is already all new material. But I want to come down to the end of Parshat Bahar. If I'm going too fast, just slow me down, because I'm kind of want to build on what I said, but at the same time, bring new material to the conversation. The Parshat Bahar is essentially one chapter. It's a very short parsha. I happen to know that it's a very short parsha because it was my bar mitzvah parsha, and it was a leap year, so it was my bar mitzvah parsha by itself, which I really got very lucky with. So that is Vayikra Chafhei, one chapter, more or less. If you look at the beginning of chapter 26, you'll see that there are two additional verses that by chapter are part of the next chapter, beginning of Bechukotai. But by parsha division, they're part of the end of Bahar. You follow that? That got very confusing. Let me do that again. Bahar is one chapter, Mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel. It ends down here. We're going to go all the way to the end of the parsha, right? End of the chapter with this reference to Kili ben Israel avadim, Israel are my servants. They're my servants. I took them out of Egypt, and therefore, right, you can't oppress the Hebrew slave, and you have to let them go after 7 years. And there's a mitzvah of Shemitah, and land itself goes back at the time of Yovel. All the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel. I'm assuming we know the details. Then I jump to the beginning of chapter 26, which should begin in Bechukatai Te'lechu, the next parsha. And I have two verses that are sitting there that we include in Parshat Bahar. And for some reason, when they divided the chapters, they threw into the beginning of the next chapter, which, again, since Jews are not responsible for the chapter division, I don't have to account for why that is the case. But I'm curious what those three verses are. So let's take a look at them. Okay, so the last verse, forgive me for jumping back and forth, but it's just the way they are. And the last verse of chapter 25 reads, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem, asher etzeti utam me'eretz Mitzrayim, children of Israel, my servants, I took them out of the land of Egypt, I am Hashem your God. Therefore, right, all of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel are relevant, including not selling the land, including if you have an Eved Ivri, you can't keep him permanently. You have to let him go after 7 years. 6 years, you can't oppress him. You can't serve, right? Why? Because Israel are my servants and you can't treat them like they're your servants. Okay. Beginning of chapter 26 begins, Lo tasu lachem elulim ufestul matzevela takimu lachem. You shall not make for yourself idols, engraved images, or pillars. You shall not place any figured stone in your land, even maskit lo titnu ba'atzechem, is to bow down to it, ani Hashem Elokechem, I am the Lord your God. Et shabtatai tishmo, keep my Sabbath, umikdashi tirao, and have reference to my sanctuary, ani Hashem. And then it jumps into Parshat Bechukotai. What are these verses doing here? They don't deal with Shemitah, they don't deal with Yovel, they don't deal with why are they here? Shabbos? Mikdash? How did they end up here? So the truth is the answer lies in the fact that they don't belong in two separate chapters. That's the optical illusion. If I put these three verses one after the other, which I'm going to show you what happens when you do. So now I'm going to jump to the source page. And we're going to just look at these three verses. They're right here on the right-hand side of this chart. Okay? So let's just take a look at these three verses. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, Israel are my servants. Avadayhem asher etzeti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. They're my servants whom I took out of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God. Lo ta'asu lechem elim ufesel u'matzeba lo takimu lechem. You shall not make any graven images, idols, etc., or graven stone to place in your land to bow down to it. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God. Guard my Sabbath. Fear, have reference for my sanctuary and my name in my sanctuary. Ani Hashem, I am God. Again, what are these verses doing here? I don't have an answer yet to why they're here, but I do know that you can't separate them. Why can't you separate them? Because when you put them together, again, the last verse of chapter 25 and the first two verses of chapter 26, when you put them together, what you have is a encapsulation in short form, in shorthand, you have the first four of the Aseret HaDibrot in almost in order. You have, right, here's the beginning of the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, as they appear on the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitichem Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, house of slavery. What does it say by us? Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avadim, Avadayhem, Asher Tzitichem Yotam Eretz Mitzrayim. They're my servants. I took him out of Egypt. I am God. These two verses are an exact parallel of each other. They're paraphrasing each other. Lo tasu lechem pesel u'matzeva, you shall not make any graven images. That's exactly the second of the Ten Commandments. Lo yiyeh lecha lehimachim apanei, lo tasu lecha kol pesel v'chol tumana. You can't make any graven images or any kind of picture, etc. You shall not bow down to them. Lo tishtachav elehem, lishtachavot. I have Shabbos. The order is reversed, but nonetheless, I have Shabbos. And Shabbatai tishmaru. And interestingly, mikdashi tirao, you will fear my, we have reference for my sanctuary in Chumash, and really much beyond, this is a larger conversation, the notion of reverence for the sanctuary is also a concept of reverence for God's name. It's God's name that is in the sanctuary. right? The notion that I will come and bless you when you reference my name. The Mikdash is called the place that God will choose to place his name there from amongst the tribes of Israel. Makom she'yivchar Hashem l'shaken shmo sham. So the notion of reference for Mikdash is translated from the reference to have reverence for God's name, not to take God's name in vain, just not to take an oath, right? They're all, those two concepts are connected. There's a much larger shear there, but that's for another time, but that's also collected. So what basically I'm suggesting is that these three verses at the end of Parshat Behar are a way of saying, okay, here's the mitzvah of Shemitah, here's the mitzvah of Yovel, we're in Sefer HaBrit. This is the Book of the Covenant. This is Mamre HaSinai. This is happening in Shemot chapter 24. So let's review the core contract before we get into Bechukotai, before we get into the question of will you observe the commandments or don't, won't you observe the commandments? Here's the basis theology of the contract. I am the Lord your God. I took you out of Egypt. You are my servants and nobody else's servants. No graven images. Keep my Shabbos and have reverence for my sanctuary. It's exactly what it says in the end of Parshat Behar, and that's what it says in the Luchot of the Aseret HaDibrot. So I put that into this context because it adds to the reference or to the proof that this whole sequence of Behar, then you have the Luach HaBrit, the small summary of the covenant with God, right? Just the first luach, doesn't have the second luach, but that's okay. And it appears in many places in Chumash that way, is a kind of this three-part summation of the core theology of the Aseret HaDibrot. And then, Bechukotai, the condition, if you keep the commandments, or if you don't keep the commandments. You follow what I'm saying? So this comes back to the question of why is Parshat Behar, mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, itself followed by a repetition of the Aseret HaDibrot, or at least the theology part, the Ben Adam L'Makom part of the Aseret HaDibrot, Kilimene Salavadim, followed by Lotasu Lechem Kopesel, Shabbos, Mikdash, and then the contract, Im B'chukotai Telechu. What is Shemitah and Yovel doing in this conversation? The Brit I get, the Brit of Im B'chukotai Telechu, I understand. Right, that's the condition. If you keep the commandments, you stay in the land. Right? If you don't keep the commandments, but why specifically the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel? And that, I think, is the core of the question. It's sort of the backwards, the reverse of Rashi's question, which is why is Shemitah and Yovel at Har Sinai? And my version of that question is why is the Brit at Har Sinai relevant to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel? Or why is that part of the Brit? Okay, is everybody with me on this? Where I'm coming from.
When were the Ten Commandments given in relationship to the Brit?
So that's a machloket Rashi, between all the Rishonim. Many Rishonim say that Parshat, that this story in Shmot Chav Daled is out of place itself, and that it belongs in chapter 19 before Ma'amar Har Sinai. Others say, no, it's in place and it's right here. And so that in itself is debatable. I would argue, I think the textual evidence is that it's out of place, that it was just prior to Ma'amar Har Sinai. The reason I say that is because if you look at the opening verses, the grammatical structure of this opening sentence is not Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, God said to Moshe, etc., but rather what the Torah's term, this gets a little grammatical technical, but the El Moshe Amar is the Torah's way of saying God had said to Moshe in past perfect tense something which occurred earlier. So therefore, the many Rishonim will say that this is actually earlier, even before Matan Torah itself. But either way, to include Shemitah and Yovel here, that's a major novelty. That's a major chiddush. Does that explain? Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Is it possible that, based on your explanation, that the law of Shemitah itself is an explanation of the first of the Ten Commandments.
No, I'm going to take a slightly different direction. I think I know where you're going, but there are many who connect it more to Shabbos, but because it's called Shabbat Aretz, but I'm going to take us in a slightly different direction. Bear with me and you'll see. So I actually want to start with, ironically, I really want to start with what seems to be almost tangential to the mitzvah of Shemitah. We'll come back to it in much more detail, but it seems to be something which is also connected to the mitzvah of Shemitah, which is almost tangential. And for that, I'm going to take us to Devarim Lamed Aleph. We're going to jump all the way to the end of Chumash. We find the following series of verses at the end of Chumash, Devarim chapter 31. ויכתוב משה את התורה הזאת, ויתנה לכהנים בני לוי, הנושאים את ארון ברית השם ועל כל זקני ישראל. Moshe wrote the Torah, he wrote it all down, gave it to the Kohanim, Bnei Levi, and it's kind of a summation, okay, here's it all written up and ready to go, whether it's the entire Torah or whether it's the Brit, say for a Brit, debatable, let's assume for the moment it's the entire Torah. Vayitzav Moshe otam lemor, and then he instructed the people, say, Miketz sheva shanim b'moed shnat ha-shmitah b'chag ha-sukot, the end of every 7 years, at the time after the Shemitah cycle has been completed, the Chag HaSukkot, why Chag HaSukkot, maybe we'll talk about, we'll see. Bivoko Yisrael le'rot et bnei Hashem elkecha b'makom ha'shivchar, when all Israel comes to the temple, to the place where God will choose, Tikra, Tikra et ha-Torah zot, Neged Kol Yisrael Bosnehem. At that time, you will read this law before the people before. Now, as you know, this is getting to the midst of Hakel. And there's a whole discussion as to what exactly they read before the people at Hakel. I'm going to make an assertion which I can't prove to you. I can't prove it to you because it would take us a whole different shear. But it's enough material that we presented to give you an idea. The Torah that we're talking about here is most likely not the entire Torah. It's hard to imagine that the people would stand there and listen to the Melech or to the Kohen read the entire Torah from beginning to end. Most of us have trouble following seven Aliyot on a Shabbos. To imagine for one moment reading the entire Torah from beginning to end in a public outdoor space, can imagine that that's not practical and not likely. What is more likely is that they read to the people a part of the Torah that contained the Brit. What part of the Torah contained the Brit? Well, there's a Sefer HaBrit in the Torah. The Sefer HaBrit in the Torah contains the Luchot, it contains the Luach HaBrit, but it contains, more importantly for us, the Brachot and Klalot, the blessings and curses, maybe even the Parsha of Shemitah and Yovel, which is connected to why it's happening on Shemitah, but certainly I think that's more or less what they're talking about. Okay. Hakel et ha'am. Gather, assemble all the people together. Ha'nashim, men'nashim, v'yataf, v'gecha, she'bisharecha, the men, the women, the children, all the foreigners, everybody. L'man yishma'u, l'man yilmedu, v'yaru et Hashem elokechem, in order that they will hear, and they will learn, and they will learn to fear God. Vishamru la'asot et kol divrei ha-Torah azot, and they will observe the words of this law. Uvnehem asher lo yadu, and their children. Years later, the children who don't know, they have to be educated. They will yishmeu v'lamdu liyirat Hashem elokechem. You bring your children so that they will learn to hear and observe and fear God all the days that you are on the land. We call that the mitzvah of Hakel. Okay? Why is the mitzvah of Hakel on Shemitah or after Shemitah? Once every 7 years, they gather all the people together, and the Kohen or the king would read a portion of the Torah, most likely the Torah of the Sefer HaBrit, that Moshe read to the people at Har Sinai. Why is this happening on the mitzvah of Shemitah? So interestingly, this phrase Hakel, which means gather, and it's the mitzvah hakel. But the mitzvah hakel, this word is not a common word in the Torah. Hakel et ha'am. That is not a common word or a common use of the description. So I'm going to hold these verses in your mind for a moment, and I'm just going to jump to another place in Devarim for a second. Okay, so keep this in focus. We're going to come back to it. I'll put them side by side momentarily. But here's Devarim Perek Daled. Devarim Perek Daled is the introduction to Ma'amar HaSinai, Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael over what happened at HaSinai. Remember that this is now 40 years later, after the revelation at Sinai, and Moshe comes to tell, review for them what happened. Chapter 5 is the Aseret HaDibot in Vayetchanan. Chapter 4 is the lead up to it. And it says the following. Raki shamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od, be careful, be diligent. Pen tishkach et hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, lest you forget that which you saw. And remove them from your hearts. You need to remember what happened at Sinai, lest you forget about it. And so you need to make them known to your children and your grandchildren. You need to teach them about what happened at HaSinai. You need to convey the message of Ma'amar HaSinai generation after generation. What are you conveying to them generation after generation? Now listen very carefully. The day that you stood before God at Chorev, when God said to me, ready for it? Hakel li et ha'am. It's the only other place that the word kahal is used in a verb, second person command. Hakel. Hakel et ha'am. Hakel li et ha'am. Gather the people together. I will make my words known to them. Asher yilmedun, they will learn them. Liyiraoti, to fear me. Kol hayamim asher atem chayim al adama, all the days that you are on the land. Ve'et bneihem yilamedun, and they will teach them to their children. You see the parallel? In case you missed it, let me put these two sections, these two verses side by side. Okay, in the end of 7 years of Shemitah. Hakel et ha'am, gather the people. What does it say by Ma'amar HaSinai? Hakeli et ha'am. Leman yishme'u leman yilmedun, so that they will hear and that they will learn. Va'ashmiem yilmedun liyirauti, so that they will learn to fear me. V'yadu et Hashem. And they will teach their children. Uvenehem eshela yadu yishme'u v'yilamdu. Ve'et benehem yilamedun. In other words, the mitzvah of Hakel is intentionally formulated as a description of the events of Ma'amar HaSinai, because that's exactly what the mitzvah of Hakel is. It's a repetition of the experience at Ma'amar HaSinai. We gather the people together in the temple at the place of God's presence at the end of the Shemitah year. We'll talk about why Shemitah in a moment. But we gather together at the end of the Shemitah year, and we, or on Sukkot, and we reenact the experience of Ma'amar HaSinai. Now, do they read the entire Torah? No, I suspect they read the parts of the Torah that were relevant to HaSinai, namely Sefer HaBrit, or the Aseret HaDibot themselves. But the idea was that Shemitah was an opportunity to bring the people together and review the laws, the experience, the Brit, the Sefer HaBrit, which included the mitzvah Shemitah, Yovel, and Bechukatai, the Brit itself, was all part of that enactment of Hakel. So that's in itself interesting, that the mitzvah of Hakel, the mitzvah of Shemitah, sort of links us to Ma'amar HaSinai directly via the mitzvah of Hakel, which took place immediately following Shemitah on the first Sukkot, which kind of the completion of the Shemitah cycle. That's one part of the story. But the other part of the story is the other mitzvah of Bahar, which is the mitzvah of Yovel. Shemitah is only part of the picture. In a certain sense, it's only a subset of the picture. The real picture is V'sefarta lecha sheva shabbatot shanim sheva shanim sheva pamim. You count 7 Shemitah years. And when you get to 49 years, we'll talk about the parallel to Sefirot Omer in a moment. When you get to 49 years, you get to the 50th year, what do you do? Va'avarta shofar tru'a b'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'asol ha'chodesh. You take a shofar and blow the shofar on the seventh month, on the tenth of the month, namely b'yom ha'kippurim. Ta'avidu shofar b'chol artzachem. On Yom Kippur, blow the shofar throughout the land. Sanctify the 50th year, v'kidashtem et shnat ha'chamishim shana. Uklatem dro l'chol ba'artzacho yoshvea, proclaim liberty throughout the land, yovel hi tilechem, it'll be a yovel. What does the word yovel mean? So, translate the word yovel. So I love this translation, jubilee. Okay, why is that? Why do I love that translation? Because you all understand that jubilee is not a translation of the word yovel. It's a transliteration. Yovel, jubilee, right? It's not a, it means nothing. Forget what it means in modern English. In Hebrew, the word yovel is an interesting word. It defines this year. Yovel hitia lechem. And on this year, v'shavtem ish el achuzato v'ish el mishpachto tashuvu. You shall return each family to their inheritance, to their portion. It translates here as you shall return. You know, each of you shall return to your property. It's like, it's almost reversed, right? It's not that your property returns to you, it's that you return to the property. It's an interesting observation. Ve'isho mishpachto toshuvu, to your family. Yovel hi, shnat ha'chamishim shana, tiyalachem. This 50th year is a yovel. It has the laws of Shemitah also, Lot Yisrael, etc. Ki yovel hi, kodesh tiyalachem, it is yovel and therefore kodesh. Bishnat ha-yovel azot tashuvu ish al-chuzato. On this yovel, you shall return to your inheritance. So how many times do you use the word yovel? But I haven't translated it. What is the yovel? So the answer really is very simple. There's two possibilities in the Mefarshim. One has to do with the fact that it might be a reference to the ram itself, or the reference to the horn of the ram. Namely, the shofar. In other words, the word yovel is synonymous with the word shofar. How do I know that? So take a look, for example, let's jump to Ma'amar HaSinai. Let's go back to Shemot Yotet. I'll come back to the reference to yovel here in a moment. But take a look, for example, at the whole experience of Ma'amar HaSinai, the whole experience of the revelation at Sinai was infused with sounds. What sounds permeated the character of the experience at Sinai? Besides God's voice that spoke to them, right? What was the main experience of sound? The shofar. Vayi b'yom ha'shlishi. Bayot aboker, and the third day when they're ready for this experience, vayhi kolot uvrakim, there was great sounds of thunder and lightning, anan kaved al ahar, cloud upon the mountain, v'kol shofar chazak mod, the very strong sound of the shofar. And the people were frightened. They stood back. Vayhi kol ha-shofar holech chazak mod, the shofar was getting greater. The entire experience of Ma'amar HaSinai, throughout the whole period of the revelation, there was this shofar sound that blew. Moshe yedaber v'alakim yanena b'kol. And in a constant reference, there is this intensity around the shofar that blew. If you look at jump to the next parak. The end of the next parak, after the description of the Decalogue of the Theophany itself, it says that Moshe, the people approached Moshe and they said, "We're afraid, we're going to die." The people saw the thunder and the flashes. They heard the sound of the shofar and they saw the mountain smoking and they were afraid and they stood back. So the shofar plays an extraordinary role in the experience at Har Sinai. But the shofar has another name. So come back to Perek Yutet, and now let's look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. And Pasuk Yud Gimel says, when Moshe was told not to allow the people to come up the mountain, they can't touch the mountain, they can't be, right? Bimshoch hayovel hema ya'alubaha. When the yovel, the horn, is blasted, is sounded, they will go up the mountain. The word yovel and the word shofar are interchangeable. You can see it in Sefer Yoshua also by Yericho. Yovel and shofar are interchangeable there as well. The word yovel and the word shofar mean the same, are essentially used in the same context. Whether it refers to the animal from which the horn comes or whether it refers to the horn, debated amongst the Mefarshim, but essentially the yovel is a shofar. Meaning that when we talk about the year of Yovel, we're talking about the year of the shofar. That's what the word Yovel means. It means the year of the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. The year is sanctified by the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur, and all the pieces come into place at that moment. The entire year is infused with the characteristic of this shofar slash Yovel. Why is it called a yovel? Well, the only other place where the yovel word is used to remind in the context of the shofar is at Mount Sinai. So it's kind of this reference that links us and says, hey, wait a second, there's a Sinai moment where the shofar was used, and we're using the same yovel slash shofar to define this yovel year, to define this characteristic of this year as the year of the blowing of the shofar. It goes even one step further, because there's a mitzvah to count the Shemitah years. It's not just, okay, seven Shemitah years and you get to Yovel. V'safarta l'chayim, there's a mitzvah to count these years. Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, seven Shemitah cycles, 7 years. Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim, 7 years, 7 times. And then Yemei Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, in there's also a reference to the days within those 7 Sabbath years, meaning you're counting, this is the first Shemitah, this is the first year of the first Shemitah cycle, this is the second year of the first Shemitah cycle, then you get to a Shemitah. Now you have the second Shemitah cycle, okay, now I have the first year of the second Shemitah cycle, the second year of the second Shemitah cycle, the third year of the second Shemitah cycle, then I have the third Shemitah cycle, fourth Shemitah cycle, and so on and so forth, until until I get to 49 years. And when I get to 49 years, Yom Kippur, blow the shofar. Does that not sound familiar, that counting sequence? Right? The counting sequence that we use for Sefirat HaOmer is actually borrowed from here, because we have very similar reference in the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, but it's not as explicit. If you go to the mitzvah of Omer, which is last week's parasha, let's do it here. This doesn't have a translation, but I'll translate as we go. Vayikra Chav Hei is what we just read. Count the 7 sabbatical years, the 7 Shemitot, and the days of the 7 Shemitot cycle, and the years of the entire 49 years. So I have 3 counts. I have the number of Shemitah cycles, the number of years within the Shemitah cycle, and the number of years to the Yovel. So in the midst of counting the Omer, Usfartem lachem im machrata Shabbat, you will count the day after the first day of Yontif for Pesach, Sheva Shabbatot Tumimot, 7 full weeks. Sheva Ad mi machrata Shabbat HaShivit, until the end of the 7th week, Tishpiru Chamishim Yom, you will count 50 days. And there is a Gemara that says that there's a mitzvah to count weeks, there's a mitzvah to count days. We have the same mitzvah in both cases, meaning the formulation of how we count the Omer and then declare the 50th day holy, because 50th day is Shavuot, is an exact parallel to how we count the Shemitah cycle years until the Yovel. Here it's explicit in the context of the Yovel, sanctify the 50th year, and here, Ukratem Kodesh, you will call the 50th day Kodesh. So the parallel is striking. Why is that significant? Because what's the greatest mystery of all with regards to Shavuot? What's the greatest mystery of Shavuot?
No date.
No, there's no... There is a date. Well, it's 50 days after Pesach. But there's no reference in the Torah Shebichtav, in the written Torah, to Shavuot being connected to the giving of the Torah. We say in the davening, Zman Matan Torateinu. But there's no reference to that in the text of Chumash. And there's a huge volumes amount of discussion as to whether or not the rabbis infused Matan Torah into the days of Shavuot, whether it's the same season, why does Matan Torah have a date, it's all kinds of discussions. I'm sure you've heard those issues before. But if you look at it from the perspective of the mitzvah of Yovel, Shemitah and Yovel, and Shemitah is every 7 years a reenactment of Mamad HaSinai, mitzvah of Hakel. And the mitzvah of Yovel is a reenactment of the shofar that was used at HaSinai. Yovel iti alechem. And the counting of the 49 and the 7 cycles of Shemitah and the 49th and the 50th year of Shemitah, of Yovel, all of that is explicitly referencing the Yovel and of the shofar used at HaSinai. Suddenly, the mitzvah of counting the Omer in Parshat Bahar takes on new meaning. It's parallel to the mitzvah of Yovel, tells me that there's a similarity, there's a connection between the holiday of Shavuot in weeks to Pesach and the holiday of Yovel in years to some other reference. We'll see what that is in a moment. But the connection between them helps me understand why Chazal saw Matan Torah, the revelation at Sinai, the Yovel, the shofar, the 50th day, the counting of the Omer, and parallel to the counting of the Shemitah Yovel cycle, this comes first. This is Bahar Sinai. And the mitzvah of Shavuot parallels it. And in the same way that the mitzvah of Yovel will define for us the sanctity, connected to the land, the mitzvah of Shavuot connected to HaSinai and connected to the Torah. So the Yovel actually links the reference to the Yovel, the word Yovel, the reference to the shofar of the Yovel, and the parallel counting links the two together in a very powerful way. All right. Where does that leave us? We've danced around the question at the core, which is, so I've shown you that the mitzvah of Shemitah is connected through the mitzvah of Hakel to Mamre Sinai, and the mitzvah of Yovel is connected through the shofar sound, which defines the year, and the counting of the Yovel cycle to the holiday of Shavuot and the holiday of Matan Torah. What I haven't answered is, why is Shemitah Yovel and its Sinai centric focus here at the end of Vayikra? So for that, I want to conclude the shiur today with a very interesting reference. What is Yovel about? What's Yovel about? At the end of the day, what is essentially the message of Yovel? What happens on Yovel?
A reset or a restart in terms of the land.
It's saying that the land is God's land.
The land is God's land. You cannot sell the land permanently, because the land is mine. That phrase always bothered me. You know why? Because how many times did the Torah tell us that God gave the land to us? How many times in the Torah does the Torah say, Aretz Asher Natan Lecha Nachalah, the land that God gave us as an inheritance? I made a list, just a partial list. I think I found 30 references to this phrase in the Torah. The land that God has given to you as an inheritance. The land which God has given to you. You will eat and be blessed. And bless. He says, and bless God for the land which God has given you. God has given you this land as an inheritance. Over and over and over again. But you know what the common thread between all of these are? They're all in Sefer Dvar. the only place the land of Israel is ever called the land which God has given you is in Sefer Dvar, which is fascinating. But in the book of, in going back to Vayikra, here, Va'aretz lo timachel et smitut, the Torah conveys a different message, which is, okay, God has given you the land, but not permanently. Ki'li kol ha'aretz. It's conditional. We're like, gerim v'toshavim etem imadi. We are like strangers. We are like foreigners. We are like renters. We rent the land from God. We rent the land from God. And if we don't behave properly on it, then God will remove us from it. That's the brit of B'chukatai. But we, the land is mine. That's the core message of Yovel. However, I think there's another element here. And this I heard from Rav Medad, just a beautiful idea. Kili kol ha'aretz, kili ha'aretz, the land is mine. That's not just a phrase. That's a code phrase. That's a phrase that jumps off the page, and everybody listening to that phrase says, I've heard that before. And I've only ever heard it once in one other place. Where? So now let's go back to Shemot Perek Yud Tet, which is, as I said before, what is Shemot Perek Yud Tet? The chapter prior to the giving of the Torah. And in those verses, we find the following. Starting with Pasuk Hey. V'yata, im shama tishma'u b'koli, if you will listen to my voice. What does that sound like? Does that not sound like the beginning of B'chukatai? Im b'chukatai elecho, im shama tishma'u, right? Ushmartem et briti, and you will listen to my covenant. V'item li skula mikol ha'amim, then you will be my treasured people from amongst all the nations. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the land is mine. Ki li kol ha'aretz, that's a Yovel concept. But look where it goes. V'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. But you shall be for me my kingdom of priests and my holy people. These two verses are the foundation of what Maamar HaSinai was about. It was about recognizing that God, yes, ki li kol ha'aretz, but here it meant that all the land is mine, and I have chosen you. I have made you my kohanim. I have made you my holy people. You are my mamlechet kohanim, my kingdom of priests. And we're going to get, there's a whole series of mitzvot connected to the idea we are parallel to kohanim. We are like kohanim to the rest of the world. Atem tiyum mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Atem lishkulam mikolamim, but the foundation of our relationship with God is this notion that ki li kol ha'aretz, the land is mine, and I have chosen you from amongst all of them. Into that concept, we insert the Yovel. And in the Yovel, God says, ve'aretz lo timachel et shmitut, ki li ha'aretz, the land is mine. And because the land is mine, what's this consequence? The consequence is that you, here's the brit, here's the covenant, here's the luach habrit, here's the aniach noch Hashem lakecha, here is the mitzvah of shmita and yovel to reenact the brit. But the brit is about you becoming mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, about you becoming a kingdom of priests and my holy people, which would explain why the brit was put into the Torah at the end of Sefer Vayikra. Because what is Sefer Vayikra? Tarat Kohanim. And so, whereas in Sefer Dvarim, we're about to become the Balabatim of the land, we're about to become, what happened? Did I stop sharing?
Yes.
Yes, good. Right. In Sefer Dvarim, we're about to become the Balabatim over the land. We're about to come into the land of Israel and take on it. Now we're going to be landowners. Okay. God has given us the land. It comes with responsibilities, etc. But take a step back and go back to the world of Mamon HaSinai for a second. And every 7 years, remind yourself of that world of Mamon HaSinai by going through Shemitah and going through Hakel. And every 49 years, you're going to do a reset to the land of Israel. You know what the reset is? The reset is a reset to what the land looked like when you entered into the land of Israel the first time. That's what the reset is. And you stand there in this land and you understand that you are a Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy Kadosh. You know what the Torah says about Mamlechet Kohanim? About Kohanim? Kohanim have no land. People have a Yerusha. The people have a, right? The Kohanim don't have a land. Why not the Kohanim have land? Hashemu nachalato. God is their portion. They were given cities, etc., but they weren't given land in the sense of a Yerusha. We, in a certain sense, we sit between this, on the one hand, with the balabatim over the land, and on the other hand, we're not, because we are God's people. We are mamlechet kohanim, ki li kol aretz. I take the land away from you, and you recognize that you are like kohanim, because you serve in God's land, and in God's temple, and in God's arena, ki li kol aretz. That's the other side of the coin. That's what Shemitah and Yovel are, and that's why I think Shemitah and Yovel specifically talk to the covenant at Sinai, the experience at Sinai. They convey the reenactment of Mamre Sinai, Shemitah, Yovel, and they convey the notion of we, as God's people, are not tied to the land in our core. We are responsible for the land. We have obligations to the land. But at the core, we are God's people, Mamlechet Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh. I hope you will have a enjoyable Shabbos Parsha Bahar, and I hope it'll enhance your experience at Shavuot as well as we are continuing our countdown to Shavuot.
How is it in Dvarim that the land is ours?
Because that's what I was saying before, that in Dvarim, God says, okay, you're going to come into the land. You're going to have the land, but then to live in the land has responsibilities. You have to bless God, you have to acknowledge that the land is his, you have to bring Bikurim, etc. There are responsibilities. That's why they're all the mitzvot of the land are in Dvarim. So that's where we live in that tension, or we live in that sandwich between being Kili Kol Aretz, recognizing that the land itself belongs to God. We are God's people. We are like Kohanim.
Okay, thank you.
And at the same time, we are Balabat.
The Yovel seems to be an affirmation of the fact that God owns the freehold of the land.
That God owns what?
The freehold. It's the freehold. Right. It's a very, very apt word.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the question, Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai, according to your fantastic Dvar Torah, the answer is Yovel.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that Yovel and Shemitah have more of a place at HaSinai.
Yovel is the answer to the question.
Yeah, more or less. All right.
Thank you so much. It was fascinating.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it. And have a wonderful evening and a wonderful continue. If you're going to see us on Tuesday in the Shir and Rikil Adut, we'll see you then. If not, Hezrat Hashem, another.
Great Shir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are the laws of Shemitah and Yovel repeated in Dvarim?
Yes, in different aspects. There are different aspects of the mitzvah that appear in Dvarim than appear here. Shemitah Ksafim related to the abolition of loans, etc.
That's another shir.
That's another shir. Hold it.
Thank you, Rabbi Shulman. Thank you so much. Good Shabbos.
My pleasure.
Are you again on Thursday next week?
No, next week.
Next week will be Rabbi Alan Schwartz of OZ.
Thursday.
Rabbi Shulman got two this year only because he's pinch hitting, and this was done really, like I mentioned at the beginning, for those who came in late, you know, on less than 24 hours notice. So I really do want to thank him. So imagine if he had time to warm up in the bullpen, what would have But okay, anyway, so so this is rotating, as regulars know. Every week we try to, 54 different people, more or less, during the course of the year. And every week is, it's nice. It's nice to hear from different people, different perspectives, etc. Okay, we look forward to learning with everybody. Of course, my shiur tomorrow on the Siddur at 9:15 in the morning. Rabbi Liebtag kicks off the week 11:15 Sunday, and then we'll have all our regular shiurim, including, as I said, Rabbi Shulman's wonderful shiur on Megillat Rut. So you can join it. That'll be Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central Time. I have to say that when our speaker lives in Central Time, St. Louis. So Bakasha, it's still early. That's why it's only 8:35, whatever, in St. Louis. Anyways, okay. Laila Tov, everybody.
Laila Tov, everybody. Have a wonderful
day. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. The Baltic. I can only say the Baltic.
Okay. Bye bye, everybody.
Thank you.